to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Kia ora, Jennifer. How are you?
Kia ora, Rachel. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, through the airwaves.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for chatting to us this morning. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about, but I thought let's start with the climate bill that was announced yesterday, because that's sort of the hot topic of the moment. Could you maybe explain a little bit what that bill actually is, and maybe why some people are a bit disappointed in it?
Yeah, so it's an amendment to an existing bill, and is really focused on how to get New Zealand, well, a really structured response to climate change, and to reduce our carbon emissions to zero by 2050. And so it's got sort of four key things it's going to do. It's setting greenhouse gas emissions reduction targets, but it's splitting the gases. So it's saying it wants to reduce all greenhouse gases to net zero by 2050, except biogenic methane. So that's the thing that kind of upsets a lot of those who believe the farming sector's had an easy ride to date. So that part of it is to reduce emissions of methane to between 24% and 47% below the current rates by 2050, and it's reducing it by 10% below current rates by 2030. Now, that's because carbon and methane, that splitting these gases is a contentious issue, but the science tells us that it's an important thing to consider when we make policy, because these gases work differently in the atmosphere. So then the other things are more around emissions budgets, to try and achieve the target, to demand that the government continue to develop and implement policies for adaptation and mitigation. And finally, which is very cool, to establish a new independent climate change commission, which will provide the government with the expert advice that will monitor what we're doing to keep successive governments on track to meet these quite, you know, what three-year term governments would see as long-term goals. So really vital piece of work, but yeah, not everyone is happy. Like, the farmers aren't happy, and, you know, those who wanted to see farmers penalised or, like, incentivised in a more rigorous or, you know, more inclusive, including them in a more significant way, aren't happy either. So we've seen that from Greenpeace, for example.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting because I think perhaps a lot of the stuff that I was noticing from the left was this sort of frustration that a government that had sort of campaigned on the idea of it being like climate change being our nuclear free moment, as Jacinda's said quite infamously now, has maybe not been quite as hard line about some of these policies as people had been hoping for. But then, of course, as you were saying, it frustrates the farmers too, because they're still being penalised for things like that. So it's maybe not the sort of bill that lots of people were hoping for. Is that safe to say?
I don't think lots of people. I think there are two parts to this. There's the science, right, which actually most people agree on, which is that, you know, you cannot reach zero carbon without addressing carbon emissions and getting them to zero, right? Irrespective of the methane, we have to work on carbon, and that's really important. So the science about splitting the gases being working differently and perhaps needing to be treated differently is one thing. But then there's the politics and the values of it, right? And that's where the contest and the messiness is. So, yes, the left will say that 91% of the submissions to this bill said that the ag sector had to be pulled in more comprehensively into the ETF. But then you have to look at who those submissions came from, and was that lots of people, a cross-section of society, or was it those who were also lobbying for that position in the ETS? I think the big thing around this, around the value, and, you know, the farmers are now saying that the 24 to 47% is too high to 2050, and they want 10% all the way to 2050. you know, and they don't see how they can do a lot without technological interventions like vaccines for cows and so on. Meanwhile, people are saying we need to reduce herds significantly. I think the big thing we can't do is continue to increase herds.
Hmm.
So we can't grow the number of cows. We might prefer to reduce the number of cows, but we certainly shouldn't be continuing to roll out dairy farms across the whole country. So it's a contest of ideas around policy now rather than the science, and I think that's where the interesting stuff is going to happen. And we're clearly, other countries overseas are looking to us, especially agriculturally dependent economies in the developing world will be watching how New Zealand does this, because if we come up with a model that is fair to, you know, and responsible and attends to carbon and methane, there will be other economies that will be looking to us to say, oh, maybe this is what we should do. We should do what New Zealand's done.
Right. It's huge. And I think we'll probably, continue to talk about this over the next few weeks, because it's as you're saying, it's something we're going to see roll out and see, I guess, the way that the government takes it on board, the way that independent panel goes about, advising.
Yeah. And the makeup of the panel, right? Like, who did they decide to put on that panel, and the makeup, you can already hear people talking about who's going to be on it. Is it going to be stacked with people, you know, that match the sort of those who are unhappy, or is it going to be those from the ag sector, or is it going to be more neutral people? So just the makeup of that commission itself is going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, totally. We might talk about Australia now, though, because they've got a big election coming up on the 18th of May, I believe. What can you tell us a bit about that? What's happening over the ditch?
Well, climate change is a real issue for them too. So this is, it doesn't have a direct impact on us, but it's a fascinating election to watch. They have compulsory voting, so everybody has to turn out. 1.5 million voters have turned out already because they have early voting. But what we know about the current government there is that they're not climate change deniers, but they're almost like, they're kind of a little bit ambivalent about the need to reduce the use of fossil fuels. So they don't have 93% renewable energy like we do here. They're still very, you know, dependent on coal, and the mining industry is a very important lobby group for the current government there. But it's a minority government. They're currently governing with a sort of the support of a handful of independents who are actually anti-mining. They've signed an new mine pledge, and, you know, anti the way the government has been using, dishing out water rights, because water is another big policy issue. And So this is one of the few Australian elections that we see where there's actually clear policy choice, for voters in Australia, where you have quite a progressive Labor government on most matters, perhaps not refugees and asylum seekers and turning back boats, because unfortunately there seems to be a bit of a bipartisan acceptance of the need to process offshore. But on climate change, on healthcare, on those sort of looking after the low paid and that sort of thing, we're seeing very clear choices. And because it's compulsory, and because of these independents, it might really go down to the wire, and we might see another minority government emerge on the 18th of May.
Well, that will be very interesting to watch it unfold. I think, certainly it's always good to see what the neighbours are up to, isn't it?
If Labor were to win, there's a hint that they may actually, revisit the kind of citizenship status and the 501 visas that New Zealanders now have to travel on to Australia. And that could be really important for New Zealanders who've lived there, for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, totally.
And don't now get access to, the same kinds of levels of state support despite paying taxes and so on.
Well, that will be really interesting to watch roll out then. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for calling up this morning. And we'll chat to you soon.
Okay, no worries.
Thank you. See you. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
You see?